Tales from the Ferry. Our house sat so close to the water's edge that often, after stormy weather, our kitchen windows were left salt-smeared by the driven spray. Though not exactly an enemy, the sea was always a power to be reckoned with, a potential danger, demanding and receiving our wary respect. Most of us ferry lads soon learned to handle a rowing boat with nonchalant skill. Some of us also mastered the elements of swimming in the so-called duking holes, and could be trusted to keep afloat in the shallower water near the shore. But further out, dangerous tides and swift currents made swimming virtually impossible. In any case, the water was usually cold, often polluted. All in all, the ferry could scarcely be regarded as a swimmer's paradise. However, as the 19th century began to unroll its final decade, a new phenomenon could be observed at the ferry in the form of summer visitors, who actually seemed to enjoy unnecessary immersion in the chilly, none-too-clean waters that girdled our rocky coast. We called them sea bathers, and eyed them askance as they tippy-toed out in what looked suspiciously like singlet and drawers over the rocks and pebbles in order to indulge in their masochistic rituals. We ferry boys were hard put to it not to burst forth into guffaws of derisory laughter on witnessing such irrational behaviour. One day, my father, busy at work in his joiner's shop, was startled by a man's voice calling frantically from the end of the pier. "There's a boy in the water," he yelled. "There's a boy in the water, and I canna swim." My father threw off his pilot hat, divested himself of his jacket as he ran along the pier. At the end, a group of boys who had been fishing watched helplessly as one of their number was being carried away by the ebb tide towards the north span of the bridge. Rather a fat child, fortunately, whose plumpness helped buoy him up. Without hesitation, my father dived in, swam out till he reached the boy, grabbed him, then struggled back against the current till he reached the end of the pier, where the non-swimmer helped them both out of the water. Now, any ferry child careless enough to fall into the sea could expect the traditional treatment after being rescued, a sharp admonition and a whack on the bottom for good measure. And this child was no exception. Apparently none the worse of his brush with death, he was soon sent running home in tears to his mother in the nearby Coast Guard station. And now, mission accomplished, my father was free to head for home, shivering and soaked to the skin. Brushing aside my mother and her startled questions, he swiftly retrieved from his vest pocket his precious watch, which he tenderly lowered into a saucer of oil. Next day, to the vast relief of us all, his watch was found to be none the worse of its saltwater immersion. In fact, it went faster than ever.